What up, though, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Upside. I'm your host, Keenan Rivals. It's been a while since we did one of these. I hinted a few months back that I was going to be bringing this back. I just had to get in the right situation, and I'm feeling really good right now. A lot of the anxiety's gone. Really been enjoying basketball and just overall, like, doing a lot of research, and I am bullish on alternative investments. A lot of people are kind of down on sports cards with circulation and some of the, you know, price points moving down. And yeah, whenever that happens, I just think it's a really, really good time to buy. So yeah, we're going to be kicking this off old school, jumping into today's episode with The Athletic. And just kind of was reading this article about the Golden State Warriors and Draymond Green and how they might not, you know, have such a, you know, they may not perform well over the next few games. I got a text from a friend the other day and he was like, yo, do you think Klay Thompson is messing up the offense? And I was like, you know, I do. I think that he's a little slow. I think that the Warriors have kind of upped their pace. But what I forgot about was that Draymond Green was absent. And, you know, they're going to be playing bad because of that. Now, if you guys are used to some of my older content, if you watched it, you know I'm big on Steph Curry. I think there's this. I think buying Steph Curry cards are always a good investment. I don't care what price they're at. We were buying them at $100. They've 10x since then. I still think they're a good buy at $1,000 if you're looking at that Panini rookie. Same thing with the Bowman, Topps Chrome. Whatever you got, Steph, I think you should be buying it. And I think right now is a really good time. But I'm going to get into that in some future episodes. I'll spare you guys the Golden State Warriors content. A lot of you don't like it. A lot of you feel like that's an obvious play. But yeah, I'm just bullish on Steph Curry. I think he's the best basketball player. And yeah, instead, we're going to use this article as a little bit of inspiration. So the Warriors are probably going to be losing some games. They've lost, you know, quite a few recently. And I want to talk about some of the other teams that are not doing so well over the last week or so. So one of those teams is the Chicago Bulls. They're on a three-game losing streak, and I'm big on the Bulls, man. I'm liking what the Bulls are doing. I'm a big DeMar DeRozan fan, big Zach LaVine fan. You guys know I've been hyping up Zach LaVine since forever, man, since like the Minnesota days. I like Kobe White. I'm not bullish on him like sports cards-wise, but I think he's going to be a solid point guard who can score, who can attack. And, yeah, you know, Zach LaVine's injured right now, and the Bulls aren't doing too well. So I feel like right now is a really good time to kind of jump in there and buy some Zach LaVine cards. You know, he had an MRI. It's not looking too bad. He's not going to miss significant time. And the Bulls should be back better than ever. If I'm the coach, maybe you sit him for a few games, you know, give him some resting time. But I think he'll be back and he'll be better than ever. And you guys know, if you are familiar with some of the older content, I've always spoke about Zach LaVine and how I think he's Devin Booker of the East. I still stand by that. I actually enjoy him more than Devin Booker. I think that he's a great player. He's one of the only players in the NBA that can shoot the three, that can handle the ball, that can score on his own, but also has that elite athleticism. Devin Booker doesn't have that elite athleticism. Ja Morant doesn't have that jump shot. Russell Westbrook has nothing. So, like, I think Zach LaVine is super underrated, 26 years old, 6'5", putting up 25 points per game, doing the 5-5 thing, all-star. I just like him a lot. And I think his cards are super, super, super undervalued. Earlier this year, I think I was talking about Zach LaVine's prisms when they were, like, $2,000. I actually put in a few offers for some myself for like $2,100, $2,200, and they were all declined. People were like, no, we're not selling. We're holding out. I think at the time they were going for like $25, $27, but they were moving kind of slow. So I was like, okay, let me creep in here, get them at $22, $23. And yeah, they've completely just like fell off the face of the earth since then. And, you know, if you could look here at Card Ladder, if you're watching this on your computer, they're down 50% over the last 3 months. Right now, you can get a Zach LaVine Prism Silver for $1,363. And I don't think that has anything to do with Zach LaVine or his play or the Bulls' play. I think that's just the overall, like, negative sentiment of the card market. I think a lot of people are kind of scared of the Prism Silver with the modern cards having the high circulation. That the older cards that don't have a high circulation have taken that negative impact as well. So with this card, if you're not looking at this on your computer and you're watching a podcast, there's only 46 Prism PSA 10 silver of Zach LaVine in circulation. Super, super, super limited card. I mean, it's just 46 of them, man. If he continues to play this well, if they continue to dominate the East, then I just definitely see this going up. I don't see how this card could just be so cheap. There's only 46 in circulation. Like, only 46 people can own this card. So, yeah, if you compare this to Devin Booker, which is what I always do, I just think it's a steal. Like, everything on everything about this chart just says steal. Right now, Devin Booker's PSA 10 is going for $438, and then we see Zach LaVine's going for $300. Okay, that makes sense. But then we got Zach LaVine's Prism Silver going for $1,300, and we got Devin Booker's going for $3,000. That's where it doesn't make sense. You know, there's no reason that Zach LaVine's Prism Silver should be under half the price of Devin Booker's Prism Silver if the Prism base isn't like that. You factor in Zach's pop report, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. There's only 427 Prism rookies. There's only 46 Prism Silver rookies. He's probably one of the most scarce all-stars in terms of just, like, graded cards. So I'm big on Zach LaVine. I think there's a huge, huge opportunity here if they can continue to play well. I'm not saying that it's going to happen in 2 weeks or it's going to happen this year. I'm just saying if they can get to the playoffs, I think and kind of dominate, not necessarily in the playoffs. I think we've learned that, like, selling before the playoffs is the key. But yeah, I just don't see why this card wouldn't go up in value, especially compared to Devin Booker. And I really love the Devin Booker comparison, because right now the Suns are doing well. If you look at the standings here, we can see the Suns are number one in the West. The Bulls are number one in the East. Then these two guys are a really good face-off. So loving Zach LaVine cards right now. If you're not somebody who's just, like, big on Prism, then, you know, he does have some of the other cards, National Treasures, obviously. But, yeah, 2014 was a very weird year for sports cards. So I kind of feel like that Prism, Hoops, Donruss is kind of where you want to stay at, some of those prime, blue-chip, well-known sets. If you can afford the National Treasures, then definitely go for that. But I'm thinking, you know, the Prism Silver is the play right now with the pop report. And just the low price point. I mean, the dude has a market cap of $60,000, while Devin Booker has a market cap of $526,000. No way Devin Booker's market cap should be 10x that of Zach LaVine's. If you guys haven't picked up the market cap method, links down below. I promise you, it's going to make you some money. Moving on, another guy I want to talk about here is Trae Young. You guys know I love Trae Young. Just absolute beast. I've been saying this from day one. Trae Young is going to have a better career than Luka. I know Luka has the international appeal. I know he's Boy Wonder. I know Mark Cuban's going to get 100% behind him. But I'm all about that Trae Young train. Look at his, I mean, he's just dominating, dude. 27 points, 4 boards, 9 assists, 23 years old. Like, just 28 point per game months, 30 point per game months. There's just not, it's literally James Harden and Stephen Curry all over again. We're going to sleep on Trae Young. We're going to talk about how Luka should be the MVP. We're going to talk about how he's dominating in all facets. And he is. No disrespect to Luka. He's a great, great player. But Trae Young's doing it as well. I think his team has a better core. I think they understand each other. And if you're a basketball fan, if you watch the Atlanta Hawks, you know Trae Young is about that second half season. Every year, the second half of the season after the All-Star break, I don't know what happens to that man, but he just starts to ball out. It happened last year. It happened in his rookie season. I think it's going to happen again this year. If you look, go back and look at these standings right now, the Hawks are like, they're like dead. They're like close to last. Like, they suck. You know, they only got 17 games won this year. But I think they're going to pull it off. I think they're not too far behind to where they're like just out. So, yes, they have lost 5 straight, but they're getting their team together. You know, they just traded Cam Reddish. I'm not sure if I love that deal, but I understand why they did it. They're looking for Kevin Huerter to kind of play that Klay Thompson role. Hopefully he can be the 3-and-D guy that he was supposed to be. And I think once they kind of get that chemistry, once they overcome all these injuries, I think they can move up. You know, I don't see why they can't catch up to the Raptors or to the Hornets. Probably not the Cavs for sure, but I don't see why they can't catch up. I don't know if I see those teams losing a lot either, but yeah, I don't know. I think the Hawks can pull it off, man, as well as the Celtics. I see them taking over that 7th and 8th spot. I don't really see LaMelo going to the playoffs as much as I love LaMelo and Miles Bridges. And I'm just banking on Trae Young. And even if they don't make the playoffs, you know, this year, I think Trae Young is just an amazing long-term play. He's not playing bad. His team just is. And once they kind of figure it out, I think the sky's the limit for this kid. Now, obviously, with Trae Young, you know, you're looking at his Prism Silver. And, you know, people aren't really bullish on Prism Silver anymore. We talked about that with Zach LaVine. And Trae Young's the same case. I mean, the card's down 40%. There's 2,151 in circulation, which isn't that much. Like, I just want to put it out there. That's not a huge circulation, but it's a big circulation for this type of card. Typically, you know, the refractors or the silvers are really, really rare, you know, somewhere under, you know, 300 or 400. So, yeah, I mean, 2,000 is a lot, but it's not a lot in terms of just, like, circulation. If Trae Young becomes a three-time MVP or whatever, this card is going to skyrocket. And, you know, if you kind of compare it to Luka, there's still some value there. Right now, Luka's headed at a 3X. You know, his Prism Silver PSA 10 is going for 2,900. And then we got Trae Young going for 950. I just see that gap closing. You know, that doesn't mean that Trae Young's card is going to go up. It might mean that Luka's card is going to go down. But I do see that gap closing over time. Yeah, there's just no reason that Luka should be a 3X over Trae Young, even with the international appeal at this point. If the Hawks start winning, I can see that card kind of going to that 1,500 range, which is a pretty decent, you know, increase in price given this bearish market that we're in. With that being said, though, I'm not 100% sold on the silver. I thought I would just show you that guys that play for comparison reasons. And I know a lot of people like that, but you know me, I'm contenders all day. I still think contenders are super underrated, and I'll tell you why in a second here. But you know, right now they seem to be going for a pretty decent amount. I mean, they're kind of all over the place, to be honest. But if you can snag one, I definitely think these are the cards to get for these younger players, like that 2017, 2018 type of class. Like, I think contenders is going to be the play moving forward. And here's why. Stephen Curry. Everything goes back to Stephen Curry, especially with Trae Young. But this is more about Panini. Panini is going to be relinquishing their rights pretty soon. Fanatics is going to be stepping in. They just picked up Tops. And once that happens, you know, a year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when people start, like, understanding that Trae Young is a superstar, or that Luka is a superstar, or that whoever, Ja Morant, is a superstar, they're going to compare everything to Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry is Panini's creme de la creme. He's going to be the top player from this set. And when you compare things to Stephen Curry, you're going to look at his Topps cards. You're going to look at his Topps Chrome. You're going to look at his National Treasures. And you're going to look at his Contenders Rookie Auto, because that's going to be his top Panini card outside of the National Treasure. Right now, they're going for $24,000, which I think is a complete steal. And I think they're going to continue to increase in price. And let's just say when this card hits $50,000, $60,000, well, you're going to want to go back, and when you want to buy a Trae Young card or a Ja Morant card, you're going to want the card, the same set. You're going to want that $50,000 card, and that's going to be the Contenders series. So that's kind of how I see it. I think everything's about comparison. With that being said, I think the Panini rookies also really solid, you know, from what set is that, from Chronicles, if you can find that. And, you know, for you guys who just love Prism and you're like, no, Prism is the way to go, it's going to be like the Topps Chrome. Well, then, hey, I think there's some really good variations out there for you as well. I'm not a big fan of the Prism Silver. I'm not a big fan of the Prism PSA 10. We've kind of talked about that in the past. You guys know I like Optic because of the low circulation supply. But if you want to stick within that Prism Silver family or that Prism family, then I think the Ice cards are a really, really good play. I think they're super undervalued. The Pop Report across the board for all of, like, the Red Ice and Purple Ice and Blue Ice and Pink Ice are super, super low. And I think being a part of the Ice family is just, you know, going to benefit these Red Ice rookies. So if you're looking at your screen here, you can see, like, Trae Young's Prism Blue Ice, which is a number to 99 PSA 10, recently sold for like $7,250. $7,250, has a pop of 26. I think people are going to start looking at that like, hey, I can't get the Blue Ice, but I can get the Red Ice. It's super limited. It still has the same appeal. It's just a different color. And I think that's going to be kind of how we look at sports cards moving into the future, especially when people who are not so educated start jumping in. If the Blue Ice is expensive, well, then the Red Ice should be too. And I think that's going to be kind of how we do things. No different than, like, if, you know, with Topps and Topps Chrome, you know, if you get a Topps Chrome card, well, all the parallels are going to be worth something. If you get a, you know, a Topps car, well, then you're going to want to get the Topps Gold or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I definitely see these ICE parallels popping off if you want to stay within that Prism family. But if you can afford it, definitely go with the Contenders right now. I just think it's a major steal, especially as this car continues to move up in value. I think that Stephen Curry Contenders PSA 10 pop of 81 is going to be all time. Moving on to some other really terrible players, let's talk about the Lakers, guys. I mean, they're not doing well at all. I got a friend who's a Lakers fan, and I was reaching out to him about basketball, and he was like, who watches basketball anymore? The Lakers suck. There's a lot of people who are not feeling really good about this season. And, you know, similar to the Atlanta Hawks, I don't know. I just feel like the Lakers still can turn it around. Believe it or not, they're playing awful, like awful. But they're still eighth in the playoff race. You know, the West is struggling. So if they can just figure it out and get a couple more games, I mean, they can go from eighth to sixth really fast. So despite how bad they're playing, I still see the Lakers making the playoffs. I definitely don't see, you know, Sacramento doing anything. Anthony Simons is playing great in Portland, but I don't see them doing anything. Their only real threat is the Clippers, and they're definitely a threat. But, yeah, I feel like the Lakers, once Anthony Davis comes back, considering he stays healthy, if he can figure it out, they can definitely move to that seventh, that sixth seed. And once they get to the playoffs, it's a different story. You know what I mean? They definitely don't want to go against the Golden State Warriors in the first round. But I can see them beating, you know, the Phoenix Suns if they figure it out. I can see them beating Utah. I can see them going seven games with the Grizzlies if they figure it out. So there's still some potential there for the Lakers and for LeBron James. And look, none of this is LeBron James's fault. I mean, he's doing his thing out there. He could be putting up a little more assist, in my opinion. Seeing him kind of, you know, get that 5-6 assists per game, that's just not going to cut it. The dude's going to have to average a damn near triple-double. And I think he's going to work his way up to there. He's been doing his thing offensively. He just needs the other guys on the team to step up and to get some chemistry going. So, yeah, with LeBron here, and obviously his Topps Chrome is going to be his go-to card. And right now they're going for $10,000, which is insane because, you know, at one point in time, this car was like $40,000. Obviously, that was during like the bull run of sports cards. It sucks to think that some people who bought this card are down, you know, $30,000, $20,000. But that's just the nature of things. And, yeah, I mean, right now LeBron Topps Chrome is down 60% over the last year. And let's see what it's down over the last month. Over the last month, it's down 5%. And over the last 3 months, it's down 35%. So it took a major hit over the last 3 months. And, yeah, I don't think it's going to go back to 45 anytime soon, guys. But I do think that it has some potential to kind of go back up. I do think that I do think it's a solid card to hold, and there's only 2,000 of them. Again, that's just not that many for, you know, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. So I'm not telling anybody to go out and shell $10,000 on a Topps Chrome rookie or $3,000 on a Topps, which is also down 60%. But I am saying that LeBron's cards are pretty cheap, you know, really cheap. And it might be a good time to pick some up for, you know, a long-term hold. Maybe this year is not their year. Maybe next year is. Maybe they don't have any more years. But maybe if LeBron continues to put up 30 points per game at his age, I think we'll kind of get over that. And we'll solidify him as, you know, the GOAT once again. He's already the GOAT, but his prices could be higher. The GOAT's prices should be higher. So, yeah, another card to kind of gauge. And this is the one that I'm looking at the most. Not for anybody to buy. I don't recommend that anybody goes and buys LeBron James's Topps Chrome Refractor PSA 10. That's a lot of money, $77,000 to shell out on a basketball card. But I do think that it's a good point of reference. You know, a lot of earlier in the year, or maybe even sometime last year, a lot of people were comparing this card to the Michael Jordan Fleer rookie. And we were kind of comparing those price points. You know, the Topps Chrome Refractor should be around the same price point as the 86 Fleer PSA 10. Now, we all know that the PSA 10 Fleer, we thought that was going to be a $1 million card. And, you know, it may be one day. So if that's the case, then, you know, we can say the same for LeBron James's Topps Chrome Refractor, considering, you know, that it doesn't like green or change colors. I don't know how well that coating is with those. But, yeah, I kind of look at this card to kind of just base the overall market. If I start seeing this card push up, then that's going to tell me it's an indicator to buy some cheaper LeBron James's cards. And that's a tip for all you guys. Start looking at the high-end stuff. If you start seeing the high-end stuff move up, which we have to a certain degree, then that's going to be an indicator that the low-end stuff still has some potential as well. A lot of the market has shifted towards high-end. We're starting to see a lot of like gold refractor sale. We're starting to see a lot of those rare cards sell. Once you kind of start seeing that, it's just a trickle-down effect. Eventually, those cards will become too expensive, and then they'll go to the next card, and then the next card, and then the next card, and then eventually we start seeing that Topps Chrome go back up. Now, with this refractor over the last month, we've kind of seen it, I guess it not have really sold. It's such a rare card. But if you look at the Michael Jordan, we can see over the last month, the Michael Jordan's kind of up in price by 7%, you know, so those are just like small indicators that like, okay, people still are interested in basketball cards. What we're seeing right now is that a lot of people are just going back and buying some of their high-end cards. I guarantee you, if you look at Stephen Curry's cards, all of them are up. People are trying to go back and get those older cards. And I think, it, you know, once LeBron starts playing well, they'll do the same for him. So, yeah, bullish on a lot of these like injured players or the teams that are not doing well, because if you know basketball, then it kind of gives you an advantage to understand like, okay, they suck right now, but there's still some hope here. They can still pull it off. The Hawks can still get back. The Lakers, maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they'll make a trade. I don't know. And, you know, Zach LaVine is just doing his thing in Chicago. So, yeah, super big on these plays right now. In future episodes, I want to start talking more about the overall sports cards market, you know, giving you guys some of the news. But I thought today with this episode, we keep it super traditional and just kind of show you some of the plays that I'm looking at. If you guys haven't already, definitely sign up for the High Upside Show newsletter. You'll get this information in your inbox every day because we're back with the videos every day. I know a few of you are like, man, you know, you left. Look, life happens, things happens, but I got the insight, I got the knowledge. You guys know what I know that I know what I'm talking about. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode and look forward to the one tomorrow. So that's it for me. I'll catch you guys tomorrow morning. Happy investing.